could tell of the story when the thousands were fed, when he lifted the sick, when he raised up the dead. I could sing of the others like the blind made to see, but I'd rather tell you what's happened to me.
Three more, I'm not three, turning to sin.
when he walks among us, all that he does, all of his mercy and all of his love. If the pen of the writer could write every day, even his words could never contain just how I've been blessed. Warmth in the winter, flowers in spring, the laughter of summer, and the changing of leaves. There's food on my table, I've got a good place to sleep, clothes on my back and shoes on my feet. Oh, I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them, there's not enough time. So I'll just thank him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. Arms that will raise, a voice that can talk, hands that can touch, and legs that can walk, ears that can listen, and eyes that can see. Oh, I've got to praise him as long as I breathe, for I have been blessed. A father and mother who nurtured and raised, brothers and sisters, sweet memories made. Our pastor to lead us, an altar to pray, stripes that can heal, and the blood that can save. Oh, I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them, there's not enough time. So I'll just thank him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. We live in a country, still the greatest on earth. Our flag stands for freedom and what it is worth. She stands in the harbor, Miss Liberty calls. All have gave some, but some gave it all for me to be blessed. And he's my shoulder to lean on when I am down, the rock where he leads me when I'm so overwhelmed, the place where he hides me under his wings. He's not just my song, he's the reason I sing, for I have been blessed.
was chapter number 12 in the Old Testament. If you're here with us yesterday morning, that's where we were at. And we're going back there, different message, but that's where we are. And, of course, I love David. I don't have to share that way for you to know it. And I hope it's something said and done be a blessing to you already. And I hope somewhere tonight that the message will maybe resonate with you, maybe help you, give you some strength for the journey. Hey, it's a dog-eat-dog world in which we live, man. I don't know what I'm going to face tomorrow. I don't know what you're going to face tomorrow. I'm glad to know he's there, and he already knows about it. Sometimes we think, man, things in chaos and disarray down here, and it appears that way from time to time, but I promise you tonight, on authority of the Word of God, everything's decently and in order around the throne room of God. God's not up there scratching his head saying, man, what in the world are we going to do? No, he's got a plan. He's got a purpose. I'm just glad to be along for the ride. Man, I hope you're on board. If you ain't on board tonight, even on a Sunday night, be good not to get on board. Well, just a week or so ago, old Jack's walked the aisle and gave his heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you minimize a Sunday morning, a Sunday night, Wednesday night, Friday. It makes no difference what day it is. The Bible said now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. I'm glad God can save souls. He can give strength where it's needed. He can encourage hearts. You know, I can't look into your heart and into your soul. Everybody puts their Sunday best on. You can't see on the inside, but God sure can. He's got that x-ray vision. He uses that word, the Word of God, to expose the joints and the marrow. And boy, that's what the Scripture will do for us. It'll expose some things. It'll encourage some things in our life. And I hope you'll get what you need tonight from the Word of God. 1 Chronicles chapter number 12, we'll be reading here in just a moment. Of course, context of this, we're backed up a little bit from where we were this morning context-wise. This particular time, David has been on the run. He's been a fugitive from Saul. Saul's been after him for quite some time. By the time we get here, and he spent some time down in the land of the Philistines, he went down to the city of Gath, and there he met with old King Achish, and Achish gave him Ziklag for him to dwell in. And prior to that, he spent some time, Brother Harold, in the cave of Adullam. That's where old Saul stepped in that day, and David spared his life. But constantly, Saul has been after him. David's been on the run. Now, remember, he's been anointed at this point. God has already anointed him to be king over Israel. Saul, he's enthroned at this particular time in 1 Chronicles chapter number 12. He is what we refer to as man's king. Because see, Israel came on that day and said, hey, they seen all the other heathen nations and they wanted a king to reign over them. And basically God said and the prophet said to them, hey, the Lord is enough for you. But they wanted to be like other nations. And boy, as I said yesterday and I've said numerous times from this pulpit, one of the greatest judgments God will ever give you is when he gives you what you ask for. When he gives you what you want. Well, they wanted a king. And sure enough, they got one. And boy, it was an oppressive thing. But God had raised up a man by the name of David, a man after his own heart, to be anointed there in the house of his father Jesse. But he wasn't sitting on the throne at this particular time. And Saul had seen that the Spirit of God had departed from him, and it was on David. And there was envy, and there was jealousy that had set in. Boy, the Scripture still said in the book of Proverbs that jealousy and envy is cruel as the grave. And it sure is, man. Don't be envious over somebody. Don't be jealous over somebody. Or quit wasting your time in that regard because it's cruel as the grave. But old Saul, man, he had, Brother Brandon, he had to kill David because he posed a threat to his throne. But there wasn't a thing Saul could do about it because the Lord had already prepared and was planning and preparing David to take the throne. But at this particular time, he was down in the cave of Adullam and in a place called Ziklag, but he wasn't by himself. Man, I'm glad the Lord was with him everywhere he went, but God sent him some tangible people, somebody that he could communicate with, somebody that he could fellowship with, somebody he could lay hands on. They could lay hands on him. They could labor together for the cause of the Lord. And we see that these men came to where David was. It's often referred to as David's mighty men. Six times in this chapter alone, 1 Chronicles chapter number 12, these men are referred to as mighty men. They were not always mighty men. You back on up to 1 Samuel chapter number 22. I want to give you a description of these men before I even read 1 Chronicles chapter number 12. Listen to the description of these men that came to where David was. The Bible said in 1 Samuel 22 and verse number 1, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. Now verse 2 said, and every one that was in in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. Now, boy, that's a preacher's dream outline. Verse number 2 of 1 Samuel 22. As all three of those words started with D. These fellows were discontented, they were in debt, we understand that, and they were distressed. Three things that they had. They were not considered mighty, Brother Howard, in 1 Samuel chapter number 22, but in six places you'll find in 1 Chronicles chapter number 12, they were referred to as mighty men. They yoked up to the true heir apparent to the throne by the name of King David, a man after God's own heart. I often use this phrase, they went from misfits to mighty men. Well, there's a great parallel, there's a great analogy, there's a great picture, there's a great application to the New Testament church age, even to this day, when you look at this. Because prior to salvation, guess what? Don't matter how you sugarcoat it, doesn't matter how you purdy it up, don't matter what kind of spiritual makeup you put on, all we were was misfits before we come to Christ. Dead in trespass and sins, alienated from God. Boy, that's not a beautiful picture, is it? We were misfits, but then thank God through our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we can become mighty in the tool belt of God. And understand, these men were coming to King David. They were coming to the King. You and I go to the King Jesus today, and he's the one that can transform us from those misfits into mighty men and mighty women for his service. Now, as you look at this, I just want to bring sort of an application message. There's a great picture oftentimes. There for several messages I preached, some snapshots of the cross that was found in the Old Testament. You could see many of them, and this could be a snapshot really, because there's a great parallel. What these men did coming unto King David, there's a great parallel to as you and I were prior to salvation and us coming to King Jesus for salvation. There's several things I want to give you tonight with the help of the Lord, and I hope it'll be a blessing. I hope it'll be an encouragement to you. But when you look at this great picture of sinners coming to Christ, the King, in this passage, first of all, we understand that there was some allure. Something drew them to where David was. Notice what it said in verse number 1 of 1 Chronicles 12. Now these are they that came to David to Ziklag, while he yet kept himself close because of Saul, the son of Kish. And they were among the mighty men, helpers of the war. They were armed with bows and could use both the right hand and the left in hurling stones and shooting arrows out of a bow, even of Saul's brethren of Benjamin. We'll read verse 8. And of the Gadites there separated themselves unto David into the hold to the wilderness, men of might and men of war fit for the battle, that could handle shield and buckler, whose faces were like the faces of lions and were as swift as the roes upon the mountaintops. Now those faces that were fierce as a lion, man, that they had a fierceness about them. And they were quick like the roes on top of the mountains. And do understand, it's worth hitting. I hit this yesterday morning, and it's worth hitting again too. There's too much jealousy in the house of God in too many places. There's too much envy in the house of God and in the work of God. What are you talking about, preacher? Well, if you look in verse number 2, the men of Benjamin, they were ambidextrous. What does that mean, preacher? They could use their right hand or their left hand. They're hurling stones, and they're doing that. They're shooting arrows, and they were good. That was an offensive weapon. The Gadites couldn't do that. They had the shields, and they had the bucklers, but I don't believe anybody from the Gadites said, well, man, I sure wish I could throw a stone, or I sure wish I could shoot an arrow. There wasn't no envy there. God was meshing them together to surround David. David needed offense. David needed defense. You'll read on a little bit further in the tribes of Asher and Naphtali, and all them had something that they could offer. If you'll remember those of Issachar, as you read on a little bit further, they were men of understanding, and God needed some strategy in David. They couldn't throw the stones. They couldn't shoot theirs. They didn't know how to work the shield or the buckler, defensive mechanism, but they had understanding and they had strategy, and God used them all for the cause of Christ. And God wants to do the same thing for you and I. You say, well, I can't sing like so-and-so. That's all right. You can do something. But don't get envious. Don't be jealous for somebody else for something they're doing. Amen. Well, it's awful quiet in here tonight. I said when we come down out of the choir, all those choir songs, man, is dead as a stick in here. It really was. I mean, I can sense that. I can understand that. But just get it. When you look at this man, there shouldn't be any envy. There shouldn't be any jealousy. But here are these men. Got different qualities, got different traits, got different characteristics. Yet God's going to use them all. Now notice with me in verse number 15. These are they that went over Jordan in the first month, when it had overflown all his banks, and they put to flight all of them of the valleys, both toward the east and toward the west. And there came of the children of Benjamin and Judah to the hold unto David. And David went out to meet them and answered and said unto them, if ye be come peaceably unto me to help me, mine heart shall be knit unto you. But if ye come to betray me to mine enemies, seeing there is no wrong in mine hands, the God of our fathers, look thereon and rebuke it. Then the Spirit came upon Amasai, who was chief of the captains, and he said, thine are we, David, and on thy side, thou son of Jesse, peace. Peace be unto thee, and peace be to thine helpers, for thy God helpeth thee. Then David received them and made them captains of the band. When you read this text and you look at these men that have come down from different backgrounds, they've overcome social obstacles, they've overcome family obstacles, yet they've come down here for one united purpose, with one mind and one accord and one heart, to serve the King. That's what God wants out of me. That's what God wants out of you. God don't want me to serve King David. King David is dead and gone, but he wants me to serve King Jesus. You say, well, wait a minute, preacher, he died. But here's the difference. Jesus died, but he rose again 3 days later. Friend, he ain't dead tonight. We don't serve a statue, a stone, or a rock. We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That is alive and well, seated in a position of authority on the right hand of the throne of God. We're separated from all the other religions in the world. All their founders, you can go back to their tomb, where their land, you can find their bones, you can find their grave clothes, but you'll not find the bones of the Lord Jesus. Oh, no, sir. No, ma'am. He is in the heavens tonight making intercession for you and I. But these men have came down to the king, and there was an allure. There was something that drew these men unto David. And David asked the question, do you come peaceably unto me? Now keep in mind, why would David say that? Brother Harold, David has been on the run for quite some time. I mean, he even said in 1 Samuel 20, verse number 3, there's but one step between me and death. Because Saul was constantly hounding him and after him, sending people along the way to try to trip him up. And he didn't know if these were friends or if these were foes. But here comes these men down that are distressed, discontented, and in debt. They come down, they've overcome that, and they came to where the king, they came as misfits, but they were turned instantly into mighty men once they got associated with the king. But there was a lure. Notice what the scripture said there in verse number 18. It said, then the Spirit came upon Amasai, who was chief of the captains, and he said, thine are we. There was some allure. There was some drawing power. How did Amasai, Brother Brandon, find out where King David was? I'll tell you what it was. It was a spirit that drew him down there. You see, there's a great parallel between this text here in the Old Testament and to a sinner getting saved. How in the world did we come to King Jesus? I'll tell you how. We were drew. We were drawn. How were we drawn? Well, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans 10, 17. John chapter 6, verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me, draw him. You see, we hear that word of God, and that's where conviction sets in, and there's a wooing. There's a wooing to Calvary. There's a wooing to the cross. There's a wooing to Christ, Jesus, and the Spirit draws us. Amasai, here he is, has the Spirit of God on him, and he's drawn unto the King. Boy, that's exactly what God does for you and I. It takes the Spirit of God to draw lost sinners unto himself. We are so alienated. We're so backwards. You're so much of a misfit away from God. It takes God to intercede and to supersede and to draw sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's still doing that, by the way. Still doing it. I can tell you, for the first time in my life, when I was 13 years old, I didn't know what conviction was. I grew up in church. Dad was talking about that this morning. I've been to Vacation Bible School. I'd been to Revival. I'd been to Sunday School. I knew the Scripture. I knew John 3:16, but I was lost. And for the first time in my life, about 13 years old, Brother Harold, I heard the preacher preach, and boy, I heard it different for the first time in my life. God began to pierce my heart. Faith coming by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. God began to draw me. For the first time in my life, I saw myself lost. Man, I'd never experienced that, never felt that before. At the time, I didn't know what conviction was. Looking back, that's exactly what God was doing. God was drawing me to Jesus. That was on a Wednesday. About 24 hours later, I didn't get saved on that Wednesday, but I sure got saved on that Thursday. When God exposed, and it exposed my life, I saw my life as God saw my life. It was empty. It was void. It was useless. I was alienated from God. But there was a better way. Oh, that was the good news of the gospel, that if I would come and turn from my sin to the Savior and call on the name of the Lord, I could be saved. And God drew me to Calvary. Boy, that night I didn't sleep much. Why is that? Because the Holy Ghost was sitting on top of me. Oh, yeah, I didn't rest much at all. I slept like a baby on Thursday night, son. After I come down off of that spiritual high after getting born again and birthed to the family of God, and now I'm a joint heir with Christ. I'm telling you, I was excited, but I had a peace in my heart that I'd never experienced before. But there was an allure, Christ drawing, or the Holy Spirit drawing me unto the Lord Jesus. Not only was there a allure, though, there was an association. There's three things that sinners do, and they're found in these next three points right here. Three things that they'll do. Notice the, not only the allure, Amasi, I was drawn unto the King. Now God draws us by His Word unto the Savior. If you're here tonight, you're lost. You got to go through God's plan. You got to go God's way. God said, I love you. I'll grant you mercy. I'll grant you grace. He said, I'll give you what you need to be saved, but you've got to ask. We have not because we ask not. You've got to do it. I can't ask God for you. Now, I can pray on your behalf, but there'll have to come a time when you ask God to save your unworthy soul, and He'll be faithful. Oh, yes. He'll be faithful to save you if you'll come to when God begins to deal with that heart, you come to Him. But notice the association. Now, Amasi, there's the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, the Bible said. Spirit came upon Amasi, who was chief of the captives, and he said, what'd he say? Now, keep in mind, he's been, the Spirit's on him. What did he say? He said, thine are we. There's that association. That allure, these men were drawn. Again, they're full of distress, they're discontented, they're full of debt, they're misfits, man. But they're drawn by the Spirit unto King David. Now, once they've been allured there, here there's an association. He said, thine are we. You know what he's basically saying, Brother Kevin? King David, we belong to you. We belong to you. That's basically what he's saying. Thine are we. Now, how did they get to that point? The Spirit of God led them there. They were allured. Then there was an association. And you better get that, because that's important for us as well. It's an association between us having a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. We belong to Him. We're no longer our own. God draws us by the Spirit unto the King. And then we say, Lord, we belong to you. You know what? I think about this. David was anointed. Now keep in mind, Amasi, the Spirit of God was upon him. Now the same Spirit that was upon him was the same Spirit that anointed David. And they come together. Oh, yeah. Think about this. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse number 12. And he sent, of course, this is Samuel, sent while he's in the house of Jesse, 1 Samuel 16, verse 12. And he sent and brought him in. Now, he was ruddy. That's a reference to David. And with all of a beautiful countenance and good to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. You see, the Spirit of the Lord, he got on Amasi. And then there was a harmony. There was an agreement. Man, they was something from another world that binded them together. And now there's an association. When Amasi, he didn't have to speculate who King David was. He knew who King David was, because the Spirit of God led him to the one that had been anointed by the Spirit of God sometime in the past. You remember there's three offices in the Old Testament that were anointed. You remember that, right? Three of them. Prophet, priest, and king. The prophet would tell you the truth of God's word. The priest would provide the sacrifice. And only the king was able to save and to deliver. Hey, can I tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ is wrapped up in that nutshell. Oh, yeah. He's prophet, he's priest, and he's king. How do you know? John 14, 6. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He speaks the truth, and that is the truth as a prophet, as a priest. 2 Corinthians 5. Oh, yeah. Verse number 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. There's the priest providing the sacrifice of himself so you and I could be set free from the chains and the shackles of sin. Oh, but then he is king. And of course, the book of Revelation calls him the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But in John 6 and verse number 37, he said, all that the Father shall give me shall come unto me, and I will in no wise cast him out. Why could he say that? Because he's got power to save. He's got power to deliver. What Sister Maddie just sang about a moment ago, he's able to save to the uttermost. I don't care if you're in the gutter tonight, he can save you to the uttermost because he is king. See, when it comes to salvation, just like an example, these men, they were Lord of Maaseiah. Spirit of God came upon him. David was anointed by the Spirit, 1 Samuel chapter 16, in the house of his father. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him. They come together there in the house. There's an association. When Amaziah saw him, he said, thine are we. In other words, King David, we belong to you. Because there was an anointing. There was also an attraction. Now keep in mind, not everybody in Israel wanted David. Not everybody did. There were some that were still loyal unto Saul. David wasn't attracted. He was despised and rejected of men. What does the Bible say in Isaiah chapter number 53? Of course, we talk about the Lord Jesus being despised and rejected of men. Think about this, Luke 15, verse number 1 and 2. This was the complaint of the Pharisees and the scribes when it comes to Jesus. Luke 15, verse 1 and 2, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Every one of us that's saved tonight ought to say amen right there, that Jesus receives sinners and eats with us and has fellowship with us in spite of my sin, in spite of all of my ungodliness, my worldliness, all my problems, all my hang-ups, all my shortcomings, all my problems. Hey, God still wants to have fellowship with me. And God wants to have fellowship with you. Amaziah, as the Spirit drew him to the Anointed One, he was attracted unto King David because King David had the Spirit of God upon him. And basically they were saying, we belong to you. But there's a crowd today that'll still say this, Luke 19, 14, we will not have this man reign over us. Boy, I hope that's not you. I hope that's not you at all. But understand there's an allure. The Spirit, you see that? The Spirit drew Amaziah to the one that had been anointed, and he was attracted unto him. And basically his statement was, thine are we, Brother Harold. He said, thine are we, King David. In other words, we belong to you. But not only that, not only was there a lure, not only was there an association, thine are we, there was an agreement. There was an agreement. Now, don't you miss this now. Do you know that every one of these men, Brother Brandon, that were in debt, discontented, and distressed, all them had to come on the king's terms. They had to come on the king's terms. Well, you mean, notice what the scripture said right here in front of us in 1 Chronicles chapter number 12. Look at verse number 17. And David, now of course the men are coming down in verse 16. And David, verse 17 said, and David went out to meet them and answered and said unto them, if ye become peaceably unto me to help me, mine heart shall be knit unto you. But if ye come to betray me to mine enemies, seeing there is no wrong in mine hands, the God of our fathers look thereon and rebuke it. Then the Spirit came upon Amaziah, who was chief of the captains, and he said, thine are we, David, and on thy side, thou son of Jesse, peace, peace be unto thee, and peace be to thine helpers, for thy God helpeth thee. You see, there was a meeting. There was an agreement. Before there was an agreement, there was a meeting. David's, the Bible said in verse 17, David went out to meet them. Those in debt, those discontented, those that are distressed, those misfits. He goes out and he meets them and he gives them a message. Do you come peaceably? Ain't that what it said? If you become peaceably unto me. See, there was a meeting, there was a message, but there was a merging. Notice what the Bible said there in verse number 18 or verse 17. If thine heart, if thine heart, where is that at? Mine heart shall be knit unto you. That's what he said. Mine heart shall be meet unto you if you come peaceably. There was a meeting, there was a message, and there was certainly merging. And notice what they said in verse number 18. And on thy side, thou son of Jesse, peace, peace be unto thee. David said, you got to come with peace. You got to come on my terms, and you got to come to God on his terms. You got to go through and by the king. You got to go through and by the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. You say, well, now, preacher, we hear that quite often. Listen, it makes no difference. You can't take for granted. Some people just simply don't know. I have no idea who's listening to the live stream or the Facebook or the CD ministry or who's even sitting in here tonight. I don't know your personal standing between you and God. The only person I know with full assurance of 100% seeing this building tonight that's saved is me. You say, how can you say that, preacher? I was here tonight that I got in, man, and God got in me. Now listen, I understand there's fruit, and I'm not questioning your salvation, but I'm just saying the only one I know for sure is me, because I know what God did for me. But we got to come on God's terms. You got to go through and by the Lord Jesus. There was a meeting, there's a message, there was some merging, but during this agreement, basically what they were saying is, on thy side, we're on your side, David. First of all, Messiah, I said, hey, we belong to you. But now the king's delivered his terms, and they no longer say we belong to you, but we believe in you. We believe in you. Now at first, during that, when they came, they said, we belong to you, thine are we. Then the king presented those, and he had presented those terms prior to as well. But they said, hey, we believe in you, thou son of Jesse. Peace, peace be unto thee. That's what we got to do too. We got to come to the Lord. Yeah, we belong to him. Yes, we believe in you, Lord. Well, as the Bible said in Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart, God hath raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Thank God I belong to him. I believe in him. But boy, there's another one here. Not only was there a lure, oh, Amasia, I was drawn by the Spirit to the one that had been anointed by the Spirit. There was an association. He said, thine are we. We belong to you, Lord. And the reason they came was because David was anointed. He was attractive unto them because they had the same spirit. There was harmony there, and he came unto the king. There was an agreement. There was a meeting. David went out to meet them. Then there was a message, do you come peaceably? And then we understand there was a merging. Their hearts were knit together, and they no longer said, we belong to you. We believe in you. But then there was a third thing. Understand there was an acceptance here. There was an allure. There was an association. We understand there was an agreement, but there was an acceptance. How did the king receive them? Notice what the Bible said in verse 18. Then the Spirit came upon Amasai, who was chief of the captains, and he said, thine are we. There it is, boy. Thine are we. We belong to you, Lord. David, on thy side, thou son of Jesse, peace, peace be unto thee, and peace be to thine helpers. There it is, not only but we belong to you, but we believe in you. But notice what David said. Then David received them. Didn't say he rejected them, did it? David received them and made them captains of the band. Them boys that were distressed in debt and discontented, now they're turned into captains in the king's army. Now they belong to King David because David has received them. Now, at first, there during that association, they said, hey, we belong to you. During that agreement, they said, hey, we believe in you. But now when the king has received them, now and only now can they say, we bow down to you. You see that? They couldn't do that before. Until the king received them. Remember the king, one of those three offices of the anointing. You got the prophet, the priest, and the king. The king was able to save and to deliver. He was able to do that. And boy, King Jesus is the only one that's able to save and deliver during the hour in which we are living. But understand this. When it comes to this acceptance, these guys came in with a lot of baggage. A lot of baggage. Reminds me of me. A lot of baggage. But you know what? They were acquitted of all their wrongs. They were acquitted of their wrongs. David didn't say to Amasai, well, you know, you sure did cause a lot of problem back over there. No. They came and they met the king on his terms, and he received them. They were acquitted of their wrongs. Boy, that's exactly what God does for you and I. Gives us a clean slate. Now listen, there's scars to some of the sins that we might have committed that we had to pay down the road. But I'm telling you, it went from a forgiveness standpoint between us and God. Thank the Lord that blood did just cover it. It washed it away. Never to be remember, you say, preacher, I ain't got nothing to shout about. Man, if you can't shout about that, hey, something wrong with you, man, to know that you're free, that you've been set loose of all those shackles, acquitted of all their wrongs. They were in debt, gone. They were distressed, gone. Discontented, gone. Why? Because they met the king on his terms. They said, Lord, thine are we. We belong to you. Peace be unto thee, King David. We believe in you. Then David received them. Now they said, hey, we're going to bow down to you. They were acquitted of all of their wrongs. Not only that, they become ambassadors to the world. Now they're part of the king's army. And they go out and they're ambassadors. It reminds me of you and I. When you and I get saved, an ambassador is an official representative. Did you know when we get saved, we go out and we represent the Lord Jesus Christ everywhere we go. Everywhere we go. Not only do you represent yourself and your family and your church that you belong to, but you represent the Lord Jesus Christ as one of His child. Boy, what a privilege that is. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. But here's this crowd that has been accepted. They are able to bow down unto King David now because they've met him on his terms. Now he's received them. He didn't reject them. He took them as they were. He didn't say, well, now, wait a minute, Messiah, you go back and you go through this 10-step plan, then you come back and I'll put you on board. No, sir, and no, man. He took them. I love that old song, just as I am. A lot of folks say, well, if I can just get cleaned up, then I'll get right with God. It's an impossibility for you and I to get cleaned up apart from coming to the Lord Jesus. You'll never clean a fish before you get it in the boat. You'll never clean a sinner until they come to Christ, but you let Christ clean them up and they'll clean it up right. Too many church members and the church police try to clean people up, and you can't do that. Amen. I don't have that power. You don't have that power. Only God has that power. And you got to meet the king on his terms. And once you do, man, he can receive you. Once he receives you, acquitted of all. Boy, what a blessing that is to have that burden lifted. Acquitted of all wrongs. To be an ambassador to the world. But not only that, but to be accounted worthy. Were these guys worthy? No. But by association to the king, they were accounted worthy. Tonight, this preacher ain't worthy. You ain't worthy. But through our association with him, thine are we. We belong to you, Lord. We believe in you, Lord. And we bow down to you, Lord. That's what these fellows were doing. Boy, what a great picture that is of a sinner coming to Christ. How did they go from misfits to mighty men? There was an allure. There was drawing power. The same thing holds true for the sinner. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. God used that spirit to draw you and woo you to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's an association to you, to the anointed one, the Lord Jesus, to the one that's not attracted to the world. But boy, that spirit will draw you to him, to the one that can forgive you, not a part of your sin, some of your sin, but all your sin. There's an agreement. You got to get there on God's terms. Again, the early church was preaching Acts 4 and verse number 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. You got to go on God's terms. But when you come there and you do that, and again, John 6:37, he will in no wise cast out. You come to him, he won't cast you out. And then you can say, Lord, we belong to you. We believe in you. And Lord, now we bow down to you. I've seen some of those boys, Sister Savannah comes, bow that knee down. One guy, I guess that was the tallest fellow I ever baptized in Wilkes County, 6'8". And thought the back of his head was going to hit that tank up there. And then I actually had to have some help with that man. But I never will forget those big old boys. I've seen them big old boys like that, tough and rough. Man, I ain't never going to bow down to nothing. I've seen them bow the knee to the Lord Jesus. And you know what a lot of folks say? Well, man, I don't like that. I don't want to surrender. See, surrendering to the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one I know of that'll bring you true victory, to bring you true victory. When you raise the white flag of surrender and say, Lord, I don't want to die in my sin. I don't want to die, and I don't want to go to hell. And you raise that white flag, say, Lord, I commit it to you. God draws you. You meet the king on his terms. He receives you. Man, you're acquitted of all your wrongs. Instantaneously, man, you become an ambassador to the world. Instantaneously, you're accounted worthy, not because of what you've done, but because of what you've been clothed in. Clothed in that righteousness. Man, sometimes those theological terms just sort of blow our socks off, but you just need to know when you yoke up with the Lord Jesus Christ, He accounts you worthy. Although we're not. Only God can do things like that. And boy, what a picture that is. These mighty men that were once misfits. But what made all the difference was when they come into the presence of the King. What will make all the difference in your life is when you come into the presence of King Jesus. He'll change your world. He'll change your life. He'll change your family. He'll change your marriage. He'll change the church. I'm telling you, just let Him have full reign. Let Him have the preeminence. He can do whatever He wants to. Ephesians 3, verse number 20, now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could even ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. He left a deposit, an earnest, the Bible calls it, that down payment of the Holy Ghost living inside of us to live that life pleasing unto Him. But if you've never come to Christ, you've never received Him. Boy, tonight, be a good night to get in. What an example we have out of 1 Chronicles 12 of those misfits turning into mighty men. That's what a sinner can do when you come to King Jesus. He can change your life. So we stand all over the house. Let's pray. Father, I love You. I thank You, Lord, for the opportunity again, God, one more time to preach Your word. Lord, I've done my very best to empty myself of the message of the hour. You never need this in this place. God, I pray for those that are listed by way of the CD, the live stream, or the whatever, the telephone, Facebook, God, You know every need. Or if there's one listening never been saved, God, I pray that tonight would be that night. They come and they meet the King Jesus on His terms. Lord, I'm glad You'll receive them. I'm glad You can acquit them of all wrongs that have been committed. Lord, we've all got mess-ups. We've all got hang-ups. Lord, I thank You for that love. I thank You for that mercy. I thank You for that grace. May God do a work as only You can. I pray that You'd woo folks to Calvary. Those that are saved, God, help them to see that they are ambassadors to the world. We're official representatives, Lord. Help us to be faithful. Help us to understand that we are somebody in the Lord Jesus. We are accounted worthy. Do a work as only You can. We'll be grateful and we'll be thankful if we ask it all in Jesus' name. Hello, friends. This is Brian Poindexter, the pastor of Faith Community Baptist Church, located at 2216 Hennings Road in East Bend, North Carolina. We're so grateful to have you listening to our CD ministry that's been provided as an outreach of our church. It's our desire and focus at Faith Community Baptist Church to preach and teach the whole counsel of God to a lost and dying world, to equip the saints of God for service, and to encourage the elderly and shut-ins who cannot attend services due to physical ailments. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school for all ages, and our Sunday school hour is followed by our worship service at 11 a.m. with old-fashioned singing and preaching from the Word of God. We meet back every Sunday night at 6 p.m. for our worship service, and every second Sunday night of each month we have what's called an eat-and-meet service. After our 6 p.m. service, we gather in the fellowship hall for food and fellowship. On Wednesdays, we meet back at the church for our midweek worship service with choir singing and preaching again from God's holy word. Our ladies prepare a meal each Wednesday prior to our service from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. I give you and your family a cordial invitation to be with us at any or all of our service times. Above all, you may be listening today, and maybe you've never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that's the greatest decision anyone can ever make in this life. Too many folks prepare for vacation, they prepare for retirement, they seem to prepare for everything, but sad to say, many make no preparations for eternity. The reality is very clear. We all will leave this world someday, for the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. You must understand that you are guilty before a holy God. Romans 3:23 said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 53 and verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You must understand that your good words and good works and good deeds will not get you to heaven. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible said, therefore by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. You must understand that you're loved. I'm thankful that in John 3 and verse 16, it said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5 and verse 8 declares, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You must understand and realize there's only one way to stand right before God. There's not many ways, there's only one. Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the apostles' message was very simple. There in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, they said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You might ask the question, "Preacher, how can I be saved?" That's what the Philippian jailer asked in Acts chapter 16 and verse 30 and 31. He asked Paul and Silas, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Romans 10:9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must ask God to save you. I can't do it. No one can do it for you. Romans 10:13 said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you know you're a sinner, and if you're sorry for your sin, and you believe Jesus died for your sins, you simply have to ask him to save you. You might say, "Preacher, how can I know for sure God will hear me?" But first of all, the Bible tells us that we must be drawn. John 6 and verse 44, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Psalm 51 and verse 17 gives us the attitude we need to have when we come to God. It said there, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." If God draws you by conviction, if you're sorry for your sin, you repent of them, if you believe Jesus died for your sins, and if you asked him to save you, then the Bible declares you've been saved. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you've been forgiven of all your sins. Romans 8:1 declares, "There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Once a person has been saved, they need to be a part of a fundamental Bible-believing church where they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God calls us out of darkness and commands us to walk in light after we've been saved by His marvelous grace. If we can help you here at Faith Community Baptist Church in any way, feel free to contact us. If you have asked God to save you, please contact us, and we will send you some free literature to help you in your newfound life in Christ. Thank you again for listening to our CD ministry that's been provided by our church here, and may God richly bless you and your family is our prayer.